Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, hello, friends, and welcome to the show. We'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Talking University of Miami basketball, some football, women's basketball, ACC. We got all kinds of stuff coming up for you on the program. We kick it off, right away with University of Miami basketball coach Jim Larrañaga. Last night, the Hurricanes were in South Bend, Indiana, lost to Notre Dame. We got back about 2 a.m. I think Coach L got right back on an airplane. And joining us now from the road, I believe, Coach L, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Joe. I'm on the road recruiting and just left a high school basketball game on the way to the airport. I'll be flying back at back about midnight tonight. It's been quite an interesting 24 hours.
Yeah, because we didn't get home until about 2 a.m. from South Bend. I know you're up in the eastern part of the United States. You went back east, so you went from the Midwest, South, then up to the East Coast.
Yeah, I got in about 2. Got up at 6, took a flight out of Miami, stopped in Charlotte briefly, and then up to New England, watched a high school basketball game, a very, very good game. It went overtime. And then I'm back. I'm actually in an Uber right now heading to the airport.
All right, very good. Well, we'll try to make this as efficient as possible. I'd rather talk about the Virginia Tech triple overtime game than last night, but we do have to touch on last night a little bit. It was a barrage of three-pointers. The game opened pretty well the first 10 minutes. I think it kind of went the way you wanted, but then a barrage of three-pointers kind of opened the floodgates.
Well, what's interesting and also disappointing, Joe, is we were playing very good defense in the three wins that we had. Against Boston College, Wake Forest, and Virginia Tech. But against Notre Dame, we played pretty good defense on them in the first 10 minutes. And then with about 5 or 6 minutes to go in the first half, they just went on a tear. We made some critical errors in decision-making at the offensive end. We missed a layup. The guy who shot the layup fell to the ground. We turned it over, and each of those mistakes led to wide open threes. And Notre Dame is the kind of team, especially at home and especially in front of a great crowd, they really got it going at the end of the half. And it went from like 32-27 to 49-27 in a minute.
Yeah.
And that kind of ended our chances. Although I told the team at halftime, we needed to make some adjustments in the defense, and maybe we could fight our way back. But we never got it even into single digits in the second half.
It's interesting as the season unfolds, when you examine all the teams, we've seen almost all of them now, but still Georgia Tech's coming up. It's interesting how each team is a little bit different, how the strategy is different. And you told the team about Notre Dame. It's pretty simple. They don't turn the ball over, because they make simple passes on the perimeter, and they shoot threes. And so your defense was try to run them off the three-point line and finish plays by rebounding, but they kind of have a simple game plan, Notre Dame, right? They pass, make easy passes, and it's a good formula. Shoot threes if you got the guys who can do it.
Well, they've got so many guys who can shoot the three, and then they've got a player in John Mooney who is going to vie for player of the year in our league. He's averaging a double-double. He's had a great senior year. And he's Mr. Inside and Outside. He can post you up. He's a far better athlete than most people think. And he can also nail the three-point shot. So he's a very hard matchup for us. Keith Stone had the responsibility. And I thought did a pretty good job in the first 10 minutes. But then we sub, and then he started to get it going. And then what ends up happening, our matchups are not correct as the game goes on. Rodney Miller's a perfect matchup for Juwan Durham, and they kind of played each other evenly. However, when they took Juwan Durham out, We were resting some other guys, and Rodney had to guard some three-point shooters, and they were able to connect. So we had to get Rodney out and put Sam Wardenburg back in. And it's like a chess match going back and forth. And unfortunately for us, Mike Bray, the coach of Notre Dame, had the answers, and we just didn't.
Yeah, Goodwin hit a couple of big shots for them. He comes from a basketball family, and sometimes three-pointers, it's when you hit them, right, Coach? I mean, you the timing of them, and their timing was just right on the money.
Yeah, it really was, Joe. And with about 4.5 minutes left, I looked up at the clock, and we were down 7. And I debated whether to call a timeout or wait until the four-minute TV timeout. And looking back on it, I should not have done that. I should have called the timeout with 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Because what happened in those next 30 to 40 seconds really was the difference in the game. They hit a three, and then we turned it over. They hit another three, and then we missed the layup and fell down, and they hit another three. So they went from up 7 to up 16. And I got the timeout, but it was really too little too late.
Well, they've won 6 of 8. They're charging, trying to get into the NCAA tournament. So that was an important game for them. They were well rested. They had played Monday nights, so they had all week to rest. So you kind of went into a hornet's nest there. Isaiah Wong, by the way, for the second straight week, earns ACC recognition, ACC Rookie of the Week for the second straight week.
Yeah, and no other rookie has done that this year. The last one to do it was Kobe White at the University of North Carolina last season. And Isaiah deserves the recognition, especially with the wins. You know, when we beat Virginia Tech in triple overtime, Isaiah won 11 straight points. He hit 8 straight free throws and a three-pointer with us down 7 to tie the game. And then Cam Augusti made the layup and free throw to put it into overtime. And then we were able to pull it out in triple overtime. So Isaiah's, you know, really coming on strong at the tail end of his freshman year.
You know, we talked last night about Isaiah in the Virginia Tech game in the locker room, you and I. And I thought you just made a great point, something that probably anybody watching that game would not have recognized. And it was a very shrewd move on your part. And you put Isaiah in that game late because a lot of fouls are being called, and he gets to the free throw line.
Well, what happened is Chris Likes picked up his fourth foul, and we had to decide who to play at the point. And Isaiah normally plays either at the two guard or one of the wing positions. And I decided, we decided to put him in at the point guard position because of the way the officials were calling the game. A lot of fouls were being called on us. We were hoping that if I put Isaiah at the point, they would call a lot of fouls on them because Isaiah really attacks. And he did. The first time he attacked, he drew the foul, made the 2 free throws. So he did exactly the same thing the next time down the floor. The referees called another foul. He made 4 consecutive free throws, then 6, then 8 consecutive free throws, and that got us going again. We were back in the mix and trying to pull out a game in regulation. And then Cam Augusti stepped up, made a driving layup with 5 seconds to go, got fouled and made the free throw. And that put the game into overtime.
What was it like? You said you had never coached a triple overtime game. I don't think I ever broadcast a triple overtime game, but there was a lot of poise down the stretch. Were you happy about that?
Yeah, I thought being on the road, and I think Virginia Tech has one of the best home court advantages because their crowd is very vocal. Their student section is really incredible. And they had their pep band there, and they were going wild. I know their assistant coaches are standing up and waving to the student body to get into it, and they surely did. But our guys didn't seem to be impacted by that. They didn't let it be a distraction. They actually focused better at the defensive end of the floor down that stretch because we had been fouling. We quit fouling and started playing some really good team defense. I got to give Keith Stone a lot of credit for that because he was everywhere defensively and ended up getting 18 rebounds, Joe.
Yeah.
The last ACC player to get 18 rebounds was Tim Duncan over 20 years ago.
Yeah, that was he was spectacular in the game against Virginia Tech. When you look at the progress that Isaiah has made and Harlan and even Anthony Walker here in the second half of the season, you challenge him in terms of maybe more effort, and you see some of the shots he's making and some of the plays he's making. How encouraged does that make you, not only for the rest of what you have for this year, but what's coming up for those guys in the offseason going into next year?
Yeah, even going into this season, Joe, and our fans probably don't realize this, but this year we started out the season with 7 new players who did not play last season. So we were bringing back 4 veteran guys with 7 new guys and trying to blend their talents. And I think as this season has gone on, we can see as a coaching staff and as a basketball program that our future next season is far brighter than it was to start this year. Now, we can still end this year on a positive note if we can win these next few games. But I think next year we'll go into the season feeling like we can compete with the best teams in our league and with the best teams in the country.
By the way, Isaiah now has made it 9 straight games in double figures. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, for a rookie, I don't know if we've had anybody, not even Bruce Brown or Lonnie Walker, were able to do that.
Going into last night's game, for 8 games, he was averaging almost 18 points a game, 17.4 points a game, and shooting a ridiculous number from 3-point range, 54%, and even better, his free throws. Going into last night's game, he was 42 of his last 46 free throws.
Yeah, and that was something we saw in high school, Joe, that he was a terrific free throw shooter and terrific at getting to the foul line a lot. So it was kind of, I won't say surprising that he didn't get off to a better start as a freshman. What I would say is every freshman is on his own timetable. We put in the same offense, the same defenses, and some guys learn them quickly. Other guys, it takes a little bit longer. But they all learn it, and once they do, they're more comfortable and more confident in their execution. And Isaiah is someone that got a great opportunity to get substantial playing time when Chris Likes and Cam Augusti got hurt and weren't able to play for 4 games. Isaiah and Harlan were able to get a lot of minutes, 36, 37, 38 minutes in a ball game, and that made them very, very comfortable and confident in their game, feeling like, hey, I now know what I'm doing. Coach is confident in me. So Isaiah and Harlan and Anthony Walker are all doing a very nice job as this season winds close to the end.
Harlan had 12 last night driving to the rim, and when he gets in the lane, he's tough to stop. Do you talk to him, or do you see what he can become? Because I think it looks like he can put on maybe – he's going to keep growing, I guess is what I'm going to say. It looks like he's not done growing. He's already 6'4", and he's got these long arms. So when he gets into the lane, he can get right to the rim.
Yeah, I think Harlan's potential is definitely very high. His size, his length, his athletic ability. He's got a nice handle. He's got a nice assortment of layups. We'd like him to shoot the ball a little bit more consistently. And he did that in high school. But in college, you know, defenses are a little bigger, a little quicker. So it's made it a little bit more challenging for him. But we're very happy with Harlan and all our freshmen. And My Uber driver has just pulled up to the airport. Okay. I'm getting out of the car. So give me a chance to get into the airport, Joe.
Okay, we'll take a commercial. We'll get back with you. We'll take this will be a good.
All right, no, I'm good. I can stay on if you want, but I need to get indoors now. I'm outdoors, and it's not 75 like it is in Florida up here in the Northeast. It's about 40 degrees, and I got a winter coat on. I've got a jacket, a sweatshirt. It, to me, it is freezing. I want to get back home as quickly as I can.
All right. We'll let you we're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to come right back to you. We're going to break for like 2.5 minutes so you get organized inside the airport. Then we're going to talk about Georgia Tech, and then we'll let you get to the gate so you can get back home to the warm weather in South Florida. We'll continue on the Hurricane Hotline with University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga, and we'll do that right after this.
Home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, we continue on. University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga is with us. He's recruiting, so now he's in the airport. A little bit warmer, coach, now inside the airport?
Yeah, I'm inside the airport just before I go through security, so I just stopped and took a seat. It's nice and quiet here.
Okay.
So I'm good to go.
All right, we just have a couple more minutes, and then we'll let you get through the security line. By the way, I know you can't talk about players, but in general, recruiting for you now, how do you feel about what do you feel about the response you're starting to get now from future players?
Yeah, I have a terrific assistant coaching staff. Chris Caputo, who's with me tonight, he's my associate head coach. He's been with me for 18 years, does an amazing job. Adam Fisher, who's been with us for 7 years now, seven of my 9 years at Miami, Adam Fisher joined the staff as the director of basketball operations and then became a full-time assistant when Eric Conkle left, and he's doing a great job. He was the point person that recruited Lonnie Walker. And then Bill Courtney, who worked with us at George Mason and Bowling Green. We're talking 25 years ago. He worked with me for 9 years. This is his 10th season with me and my coaching staff. And Bill does an amazing job in the recruiting arena. So we're involved with some very good prospects, very optimistic for next year and for the future of our basketball program.
Louisville plays Florida State tonight for first place in the ACC. Now, I think I don't want to defend Florida State. That's hard for me to do that. But I believe this is the third or fourth time they've had a Saturday-Monday turnaround. And the Monday games have been North Carolina, Duke, and Louisville.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, so that should be a heck of a game.
I think those two teams and Duke, you know, have proven to be three of the top 10 teams in the country. The question comes in is who's next in the ACC? And there's a lot of discussion about Virginia. They got a lot of preseason hype, and I think they've played pretty consistently this season. Tony Bennett does a magnificent job. I think NC State has put themselves in a position to get an at-large bid. I think Syracuse is in the running as well. And Notre Dame. I think those are the next three teams after Louisville, Florida State, Duke, Virginia. Then NC State, Syracuse, and Notre Dame, I think, are still very much in the hunt. Of course, we would love to finish strong and get ourselves in consideration for postseason play. Mm-hmm. And you always have a chance if you can play really, really well during March, during the ACC tournament, and earn yourself a bid to the NCAA tournament.
Well, I have to admit, it is nice to look at your layup line and see a full complement of players.
Yeah, it was so difficult during the month of January, Joe. That was so challenging. When we went to North Carolina and only had six players. And Carolina was not playing particularly well at the time. They had lost five or six in a row, yet we were so overwhelmed by then. We were basically playing with a freshman team. And now I think our guys are feeling better about themselves. We've won three out of four. Of course, Isaiah Wong has been the rookie of the year 2 weeks in a row. Chris Likes and Cam Agusti are finally healthy again. Although Chris had an injury late in the game, I just don't know how serious it is. We won't know for a couple of days because we're not practicing. We didn't practice today. We're not practicing tomorrow, but we'll find out Wednesday how serious his injury is.
Georgia Tech is next up. That'll be Saturday in Atlanta, 8 o'clock tip-off. They've played pretty well on the road. Georgia Tech got beat the other day, but they play a lot of different defenses, don't they?
Yeah, Georgia Tech has been very, very good at home. They've won four in a row at home and are going to be a handful for us. They're an older team. They've got some big guys. Moses Wright, who is, I don't know, 6'9 or 10. He scored 33 points the other day against Syracuse. Listen to this, Joe. He was 14 for 17 from the field. He made 14 shots on 17 attempts. I haven't heard anybody doing anything like that. And Josh Pastner, their head coach, was claiming and promoting Moses Wright for the most improved player in the ACC this year, and he's certainly doing a great job. James Banks, their center, is 6'10". They've got a full complement of players right now. Michael DeVoe is really, really good. Alvarado is terrific. So we're going to have our hands full in Atlanta.
Three big games remain. These are all, you mentioned finishing strong and good opportunities, right? Georgia Tech, Virginia, and Syracuse. These are name recognition teams, especially the final two at home.
Yeah, these are the teams that are ahead of us in the standings. Georgia Tech is just one game ahead of us. Syracuse is two games ahead. Virginia is kind of too far ahead for us to catch, but hopefully we can play well in our last two home games of the season. Hopefully our fans will turn out and cheer us on to end this season on a high note with Syracuse and Virginia coming in.
Yeah, because it is possible to get all the way up to, well, inside of the nine spot, which gets you out of the Tuesday game at the ACC tournament. That is still a possibility with some wins here in the last 2 weeks of the season.
And that's always a goal. I don't know if our fans realize that the ACC tournament starts on a Tuesday, doesn't end till a Saturday. And the top teams get a bye. The next group get a single bye. And the bottom six have to play on opening day, which is Tuesday. You know, we were in a position last year. I can't remember. Did we play? We played opening night, right,
yeah,
Joe?
Played Wake Forest.
Beat Wake Forest on opening day and then lost to Virginia Tech in the next round. So a lot of basketball still will be played.
Yeah, we've done it both ways. We've had to play on a Tuesday, and you've had the double bye.
Yeah, and that's the double bye. Yeah. You know, you don't have to start till Thursday. You still have to win three games, though. It's not like it takes you to the finals. You got to play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday if you want to win a championship.
All right, Coach. Well, I'm going to let you get through security so you can get back here to South Florida and coach your team here. Thanks for taking the time to join us on the road while you're recruiting. Long night, tough night last night. Get back on the plane to go recruit some players. That's tough duty today, but thank you for joining us here tonight. Really appreciate it.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
All right. That's University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga joining us here on the show. When we come back, we'll talk about the ACC with West Durham. West had the game last night, and West does a television morning show with Mark Packer, Packer and Durham, on the ACC network. It's also on Sirius XM Radio. So West Durham will join us in the next segment. Then, in the 7 o'clock hour, a week from today, is spring football. Spring football starts a week from today, next Monday. So, at 7 o'clock, 7:05, thereabouts, Derek King will join us on the show. We had a conversation with Derek King, so you'll hear what he has to say about coming to the University of Miami, what his goals are for spring football. So Derek King will join us. And then Katie Meyer will talk University of Miami women's basketball. And then we'll close the show out. We'll go back to football in the next hour with Quincy Roche, University of Miami defensive end, who transferred in from Temple. So that's what's coming up in the next hour on the show. We'll get some spring football conversation as spring ball will start next Monday for Manny Diaz. They'll be on the practice field. That's hard to believe. Next Monday, and we'll go until, like, spring football this year is going to go until August. No, it goes until April. They have a couple of weeks off. They're going to take a week off for spring break, and then I think there's another week. Coach Diaz was telling us last week that there's another week built in to spring football that they're going to have off, and that's going to allow some guys to have some minor bumps and bruises to maybe recover for a week and then get back involved in spring. So especially on the offensive side, if you lose a wide receiver or a tight end or lineman, you're putting in this new offense. This perhaps gives them a chance, if they get injured, not to miss any time on the field. So when we come back, we'll turn our attention to the ACC, get an overview of the ACC with West Durham. We'll do that in just a moment. Let me talk to you about my favorite subject, Williamson Cadillac. And Williamson Cadillac has been a part of this fine community for over 52 years. Ed Williamson, his lovely wife Carol Williamson, nobody does it better. Nobody knows how to sell a luxurious car better than Williamson Cadillac. And through those 52 years, it's been their pleasure serving this community with the same essence that represents the people who live here, because Williamson is Miami. Nobody represents Miami better than Ed Williamson. Right now, you can experience everything that Williamson Cadillac has to offer. Escalades, XT4s, XT5s. I'm driving the XT5. Smooth, comfortable, roomy, safe, all the bells and whistles. It's just an outstanding drive. The XT6, and now the first ever 2020 CT4, Cadillac's Dynamic New Edition, the 2020 CT4. You can see all of this, all of these vehicles at their beautiful state-of-the-art facility, which is located at US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto Expressway, or go online. That's the easy way. You can check out their entire inventory online at WilliamsonCadillac.com. Williamson Cadillac, your premier luxury dealership. Williamson is Miami.